I know the least about, so I hope that y'all can garner some useful information from Steve.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Hank. I appreciate it. So, but thank y'all for having me here and allowing me the chance to speak to y'all and tell you a little bit about two-spotted spider mite, how we manage them in the Mid-South. So typically where we see spider mite outbreaks and early season is going to be poor or late burn down of weeds pre-plant. And so we typically see this every year, especially if it's a normal Louisiana winter Louisiana spring where we get plenty of rainfall and guys can't get in the field. They leave henbit, could be grasses, just about anything that if they can't get control of, then spider mites will definitely use as a host in a reservoir. And so that's something we do see issues with, specifically where guys don't get in and get a timely burn down to get that spring vegetation killed and have it desiccated to force the mites off. Hot, dry weather conditions. So this is something I know guys in the West and in Texas really experience more than we have in the past few years. We've gotten some pretty torrential downpours during the summer. And so when we don't have that rain, then we normally can't anticipate problems with spider mites. So that's typically hot, dry weather. Guys need to start looking for spider mite outbreaks because it's not if, but when. And then so a lot of the times we have insecticide applications targeting other pests. And this is namely acephate and pyrethroids because they do a great job at controlling the beneficial insects that are out there that may control the spider mites, but they're not going to touch your spider mites. And so this includes bifenthrin. And so even though bifenthrin is labeled is used possibly as a miticide, you're not going to get really any control out of bifenthrin. It's going to make your problems worse. And I've got some data to show a little bit later. And then the ability of the plant to defend itself. This is a little bit some of the newer research where seed treatments are starting to play an impact on spider mite prevalence and how duration in cotton. And so this has been well researched. However, it's kind of coming back to the forefront because with the use and the rapid adoption of neonicotinoid seed treatments, it's becoming an important consideration as of if we have seed treatments early season, what impact is that going to play later season on other insects? And so initial sources of mites infesting cotton. So overwintering, spider mites are going to be just like pretty much any other arthropod or insect. They're induced by day length and temperature. So if you go out and you survey the weeds in your field right now, you may find or you're probably going to find the red forms. And so typically females are going to turn orange to red when they go into diapause. And then as they transition into the more, when it gets warmer and they start coming out of diapause or overwintering, what's going to happen is they're going to transition back to that green color. And so if you're out and you just happen to take a look, or maybe you have henbit or whatever weed it may be in the field, and you see little orange or red spots under it, take a hand lens or a magnifying glass and take a look, because more than likely it might be a spider mite. So henbit is one of the major spring weeds that we have in Louisiana. I know a lot of guys, really the NRCS loves henbit because it really does a great job because it, you know, holds our soil down and is really almost acts as a cover crop in a lot of our fields in Louisiana and the Mid-South. So, but as an issue with henbit is they do harbor quite a bit of spider mites. And so you have your other sources too throughout the year. So it's going to be soybeans and corn. And something interesting is tree lines. And so we see some of the worst spider mite infestations we have in cotton come from tree lines. And so there's a lot of old research that shows actually that spider mites will overwinter under the bark of trees. And then as it becomes springtime, they'll emerge and they'll balloon out from those trees and infest whatever's around it. And so there was a lot of work done in this in the 60s in California with cotton planted next to almond orchards. And so it's a really interesting phenomenon, but it definitely does play a role. So the green bridge concept, and this is something when we do winter meetings in Louisiana, which when I go back Friday, I'll have winter meetings starting next week, is that I stress to the growers is to break the green bridge. And that goes back to pre-plant burn downs. And so you really want a minimum of 4 to 6 weeks. And I say 6 weeks ultimately because you're going to want, what that does is you're going to allow those weeds to desiccate. The roots will desiccate out. The top above the ground will desiccate as well and force any alternative insects off. And that goes so much further than just spider mites. That can be in soybeans, three-cornered alfalfa hoppers, cutworms. I mean, you name it, these insects are overwintering in these weeds and it's important to get them killed. And so crowding and host deterioration kind of go hand in hand. So what's going to happen as those weeds die by whatever means they're killed by, either weather or chemical, what's going to happen is spider mites are going to concentrate to the green areas. Well, as the green areas shrink, they're going to overcrowd themselves, and that's going to signal them to disperse. And so that's why if you have green patches in your field and you come through and kill it with Roundup, what it does is it releases those spider mites off into your crop. So that's why it's important to get a good, complete burn down, if at all possible. And so this kind of illustrates that example. So this field here, this is alfalfa. I know it doesn't look like it. It's nice and weedy. But this is an alfalfa field here to the right-hand side, and this is cotton. Now, it's drought-stressed cotton. It looks terrible. But it kind of illustrates the effect that these spider mites originated from this alfalfa, which is a legume. It stays green virtually year-round in Louisiana. And so they just walk across that field. And so that really kind of plays the importance of how alternative hosts can have an impact on spider mite infestation. So these are our thresholds. So Louisiana threshold, treat when mite infestations cause areas where plants have discolored leaves. Anticipate repeating applications in 5 days. And then the other mid-southern states are pretty much, they vary about the same. However, we're more or less on the same page when it comes to thresholds. And spider mite thresholds have changed over the years, and it's something that's kind of fuzzy. We don't really have a great idea on what exactly a great threshold for spider mites are, but that's something that I hope to work on in the future. And so we can get a better idea of exactly what, you know, a more hard and fast idea of when do I need to treat so I can avoid yield loss. So this is miticide performance. And what I really want you to take away from this is Brigade. So Brigade is bringing nothing to the table. Bifenthrin, at least in Louisiana and the Mid-South, is bringing nothing to the table in terms of spider mite control. And so you have products like Athena and Gladiator that are bifenthrin mixed with abamectin. Now, abamectin by itself, if you use it at an appropriate high label rate, is going to give you good control of spider mites. But the addition of bifenthrin with that abamectin is not doing you any favors. So if you've got spider mites, use a dedicated miticide. Now, use something like an abamectin alone or Portal or any of these other products to control spider mites. I'm not a very big advocate of pyrethroids in cotton. There are very specific uses. Now, this is in Louisiana. So pyrethroids in cotton seem to be very disruptive. Now, they do have a place. Stink bug control, they're great. But for plant bugs, spider mites, cotton aphids, they don't do anything but make them worse. And we have data that shows that. So pyrethroids, at least in Louisiana cotton, have a very specific role where they're used. And one thing they do very well is flare your secondary pests. So we were seeing control issues with abamectin and on two-spotted spider mite in 2013 and 2015. So if you look at A and B, these are two trials that we had at the Macon Ridge Research Station in Winnsboro, Louisiana. And this is percent control on the side, and this is just our trials on the bottom. And so what this shows is we were getting the trial that's labeled A, that's abamectin at 6 ounces. And so we were getting 20% control. If you go to B, that was abamectin at 10 ounces. And we were still only getting 60% control. So abamectin at 10 ounces, that's an expensive shot. And so to only get 60% control, we saw some issues with it. And then if you go out to 2015 to C and D, it's the same thing, except these are going to be 6 ounce shots. And so even in 2015, where we applied 6 ounces of abamectin, we're still only averaging about 25% control between the two trials. So abamectin is not really, at least in these instances, is not really cutting it for spider mite control. And so this is mature cotton. This is a high mite population in Bossier City. We did a trial over at the research station in Bossier. And really kind of this just highlights what, that's another one that highlights really what Brigade or what bifenthrin does to the population. And so, I don't have a pointer, do I? No. So where we have the untreated, Brigade blows them out of the water. And so this is 0 days after treatment, 7 and 14. Portal, Zeal, your other dedicated miticides, Oberon, even ABBA at 6 ounces look pretty good. And so this just kind of demonstrates that what I'm going to kind of driving home as far as the pyrethroids. So 2013 abamectin failure. So this is where we got a call from consultants saying that I sprayed abamectin twice and it didn't work at all. I've got 3 times the amount of mites that I had before I sprayed. And so this is Catahoula and Concordia Parish. And so based on our 2013 data, the CL, if you look on the side, it's got strain. If you go down at CL with a resistance ratio of 630.7. So that's telling us those spider mites that I collected out of that field were 630 times more resistant than a susceptible population. So if you go to the one beneath it, that's Jonesville, they're 1,400 times more resistant to abamectin than our susceptible population. Now, I'm going to go to the next year. From roughly the same area, we didn't see it. And so what had happened is the consultant or the farmer had selected for that resistance, unknowing. So when you do two shots back-to-back, what happened is that you selected for the resistant individuals, and that's all that proliferated in the field. And so that's what we're seeing, is that selection, where when you do reduce or lower rates of abamectin or really any insecticide or miticide, you're going to select for resistance. And so that's the issues we were seeing. Now, we haven't seen resistance issues like that since, but it just kind of goes to show that integrated pest management, rotating chemistries, and being judicious with your pesticides goes a long way in preserving these technologies. So abamectin, so this is kind of a breakdown of abamectin. So it's a nerve poison, translaminar, so it's going to move into the plant quickly. It's soft on beneficials. And so that's where your hallmark is. It's really going to kind of go after those mites, leave your beneficials behind. And these are the stages that it's going to take out. So it's active on pretty much all your motile stages, but has no egg activity. So based on how these data that we have, this is how we've changed how we utilize abamectin in Louisiana cotton. And so what we recommend to growers is that don't use less than 8 fluid ounces of abamectin. And typically use only one shot per season. So a lot of guys don't use the 4 to 6 ounce rate. They're going to go with 8, 10, 12 so they can get a one good slug of abamectin out there, get their spider mites under control, and then rotate to something else if it's still a problem. So looking at bifenthrin. So bifenthrin, it's a pyrethroid, just going to have contact activity. It's harsh on your beneficials. So what it's going to do is it's going to wipe out your beneficials but leave your mites behind. And it's only active towards your motile stages. Now we get to portal. Well, that's a little off on that one. But it's a mitochondrial poison, so it's a different mode of action. But this one's non-translaminar, so coverage is important. It's going to be fast-acting, but it's temperature-dependent. So if you have we don't really see it in Louisiana, but if you have it in the high plains of Texas or in the northern or western states and you have a cold spell and you spray portal, it may take a little bit longer to take activity or to have activity on mites. And so what it's going to do is it's going to essentially intoxicate the mites and they're going to act like non-feeding zombies. And so it's going to work on your motile stages but not your eggs. So looking at Oberon, Oberon's a lipid synthesis inhibitor. It's translaminar. It's going to be soft on beneficials as well. It's got good residual activity, but it's also temperature dependent like portal. So it's the same thing applies. If the weather conditions aren't correct, if you get a cold snap, you may not see activity as quickly as you'd like to see. It does have some sterility of females, and there is a little bit of ovicidal activity. So you break that life cycle, giving you that longer residual control than you'll see with portal. And Zeal. So Zeal is a mite growth regulator that works on all stages of mites. And so that's where your residual activity comes from outside of the product itself. When you break the life cycle and you kill the egg while simultaneously sterilizing the adults, you're going to get that residual control that's going to keep those mites at bay without allowing to explode. So this is some data that we generated in 2013. And so this is where we had a seed treatment in cotton. And so this is our non-treated, this is the number of mites per 10 leaves, this is our non-treated, and this is our gaucho. The only neonic that we applied on this cotton was a seed treatment. We didn't put any PGRs, we didn't use any other things that might affect the hormone output or have any kind of negative impact on the cotton. And so what we saw is only with 0.375 milligrams AI per seed, we still saw 86 days after planting, a significant increase in mites. And so that's really something that our ongoing research is looking at to see why the effects of neonics may cause spider mites to be worse in cotton. Duration matters. Pretty much the longer you're infested with spider mites, the less yield you're going to have. And so management, timely burn down is important. Start the season off right, get the weeds killed, so you have less issues with spider mites, so you're not fighting spider mites from cotyledon stage till cutout. Delay your broad spectrum applications as much as possible. This is extremely important, at least in the Mid-South and Louisiana, because we'll wind up taking two steps forward and one step back when we're trying to control plant bugs by using acephate, some of these more harsher chemistries. But in the background, we're blowing up spider mites, causing us to increase how much we're going to have to spend. Rotate your chemistries. That's extremely important, especially since we're seeing resistance. And a lot of the populations in Louisiana, it's out there, it can happen. And then your impacts of weather. Just be mindful that if it's hot and dry and something... I'm out of time, aren't I? Okay, if it's hot and dry, then you may have an issue with spider mites. And I'm done. All right, thank you all.